History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NHL draft is behind us, but July 1st is now upon us. Lots going on in the NHL and for our Dallas Stars, and that means we, of course, bring on our NHL and Stars insider, Sean Shapiro, just back from the NHL draft with oodles of information over the next 30-ish minutes. We try to get in as much as we can. It's always an informative episode. Love having Sean on the program. Love having the on-time experts as the sponsor of this program. Can't say it enough. Listen, we were just talking about the temperature before we started this program, and it's sustaining now in North Texas. So make sure, even if your AC is working, is it working as well as it could be? Because that power bill is going to start going up and up. So when it does, you want to make sure, hey, is everything working okay? Because if it's not, it's putting more pressure on the system. So let the on-time experts come in for first-time customers, $59. Let them clean it. Get rid of that dust. Get rid of that grime. Get rid of everything. Make sure all the parts are working properly so that you are at high efficiency. And when you're at high efficiency, you never know, that power bill could either stay the same or go down because your AC isn't working that hard. As well as first-time customers for that drain cleaning special. Yeah, that's right. The on-time experts are also experts in plumbing, and they will come in and they'll make sure all your drains are cleaned, and that is a great feeling. They support local hockey and DFW, the official HVAC company of the Dallas Stars. You see the Zamboni, you see it on the scoreboard, you see it on the ribbon going around the stadium. They support our Dallas Stars, also the official HVAC plumbing company right here of Spits and Suds. They've been with us for a while now, and we truly appreciate it. Same day service guaranteed, 4.8 out of 5 stars, nearly 6,000 reviews. Come on. Support the on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. Tell them Spits and Suds sent you. And we bring on from his Substack, Shap Shots, also writes for D Magazine. What a weekend he had. Elite Prospects. Boy, I went to Elite Prospects so much over the weekend. It was tremendous. A special episode, an additional episode of Algorithmically Incorrect on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. That is a terrific YouTube channel featuring our very own Sean Shapiro and Robert Tiffin. And we welcome in Sean Shapiro. How was Buffalo, my friend?
It was really good. It was... I had a good time. I have some thoughts that we'll go over a little bit here, I think, on the decentralized draft and what we need and what we not need to do in the future on this. But just overall, good weekend. Good weekend at the draft. Awesome to kind of see some kids get their dream realized and get drafted. And I ate some... Ate some pretty good food, ran into some media friends there as well. Unfortunately, not the team people. And that's a good way to kind of go into that, Gavin, because weekend. And I don't like when, I'll be very clear on something. I don't like when media people complain about traveling stuff because it's the whole, like, we live in a fantasy land and it's awesome, right? Like, I love it, but we get to cover sports for a living. I get to travel the world and a little bit and watch hockey for a living. So I know people don't like to hear complaints about travel or anything like that when there's parts of this job that other people would spend boatloads of money to do, and you're going to actively pay to do it. So this is not a media travel complaint. This is a more of a draft commentary of, if the NHL draft used to be something that no other sport had, it used to be all 32 teams in one spot. We had it in, Gavin, you remember when it was in Dallas, it was a great event. We did, you bring everything together and everyone comes together. All 32 teams are there in one spot and under one roof. There's GMs there. There's agents there. It's becomes like an awesome industry weekend. And, I mean, such a large industry week in that for some people, literally traveling to the draft was a way to try to network and make create jobs and everything, to find jobs and everything like that. And the NHL no longer, by going to the decentralized draft, the NHL lost that. And the NHL doesn't have the alternative, right? The, like Gavin, in baseball, right, there's still the winter meetings, right, that serve that role. And in football, there's that combine in Indianapolis that everyone goes to, where it kind of serves that role. And in basketball, the NBA Summer League has become that. In hockey, it was the draft, and the NHL draft combine doesn't really have the same allure and feel because of how it's covered and where teams should and like kind of the trajectory of players coming out of the draft. So the NHL has kind of dropped the ball, and the GMs, in my view, have dropped the ball by going to this decentralized format. And I go back to this format, and I go back to this. And if you allow my soapbox to continue for another 45 seconds here,
sure,
it's a disservice to the kids. It's a disservice to the players, because it used to mean something to go to the draft. It used to mean something to go and get drafted. You got to go on to the, you get to meet the GM that drafted. You get to meet the team that drafted. You get to do all of that. Now it's, you basically go and you meet a PR person and shake their hand. And that's no disrespect to, it's funny because none of the Stars picks were actually there, but Lindsey Brown was the Stars PR person in attendance, and no offense to Lindsey, but like, you don't want to meet Lindsey, like, and that, like, Lindsey's a lovely human, but you want to meet Jim Nill. You want to meet Joe McDaniel. You want to meet the people that drafted you and put their reputation on the line by drafting you. You want to be able to have that moment with your family. And you just kind of get, you just go meet a PR person. You don't really get that experience. And then without the teams there, like on day two, they just started letting like seat filler people kind of onto the floor area.
Yeah.
So it didn't look as awkward. And all of a sudden it's like, if you're a kid and family that have put 17, 18 years of your life into this journey, and now all of a sudden you got a random dude in a Buffalo Sabres jersey allowed to come sit on the draft floor next to you while you're waiting for your name to get called in the fourth round. Like, I think this was a, if they don't change back to a better format, if they don't change it back to a centralized format, unless you're a locked in top 30 pick, why would you ever go? Right. And why would you, if you're an agent, why would you ever let your player go through that? Right. And so I just, for me, it's, we need to go one of two ways. We either need to go back to the, full everyone in one spot format, or we got to go a little more extreme and be, you know what? I don't know how many prospects the NBA invites, but the NBA doesn't let 60 to 90 prospects be there or whatever, right? Like, we got to go a little bit to just a cut of like, you know what? We invite the top 10. The top 10 get to be there. If you're a top 10 listed prospect on NHL Central Scouting, you get to be there. And that's it, who's invited, and we make it a big deal, because you want to see those top 10 picks drafted, but then we don't put anyone else through this. So that's my soapbox. I'll let you read and react to that. Not trying to complain. I just, it's something that I think needs to be said and media needs to bring up, because I was there and I was talking to my pal Cam Robinson, who I work with at EP. And we had a really, like, we got what we needed from Thursday and Friday, and we're there on round two. And with the way the draft's going around two, we're both look at each other and we're like, how do we justify the cost of being here to elite prospects on round two, during day two right now? Because this is harder and harder to justify. And if we're having that discussion from a media perspective, think about how for others as well. So,
yeah, I think the NHL has done a really good job expanding the game and been successful in expansion markets and creating year-round excitement. I think in this case, I don't understand why they don't think of the fans, because the fans also enjoyed that. I totally agree with you with the players. And it's amazing how often those pictures of a Sidney Crosby being drafted or a Nathan MacKinnon, or just name the kid, you see them up in the podium with, name the team, the Dallas Stars leadership. And a lot of times it was one of their all-time great players up there on stage as well. It truly was a great moment, not just for the player, but honestly, I liked seeing the Stars leadership get up there and who is going to announce the pick. I enjoyed that aspect. And as a fan, honestly, I was looking for people to go from table to table. I thought that was really cool. It was old school, you know, and it's like, oh, they're talking to each other. And I understand, and Jim Neal referenced it in his press conference, that don't believe everything. And two GMs happened to be catching up and people are like, oh, what are they talking about? Well, they were actually talking about how there was a rumor about their two teams and they knew nothing about it. So I understand that aspect, but I feel as though rumors and what's going to happen, those are all good for the game when you look at the greater good of hockey, because that creates chatter. Whether we like it or not, it's a roller coaster. But Jason Robertson talk continues the talk of Dallas Stars hockey in this offseason. I can't tell you how much, on a personal note, 105.3 The Fan, every day we're talking about Jason Robertson. It's a main topic here in DFW sports. So, yes, it's a roller coaster, but at the same time, it's still, to me, really important. And so I agree with you. Needs to go back.
100%. 100%. And I think it needs to be a level of, right now, I think the NHL needs to come at it from this way. And I think it's a, if you're Gary Bettman, or if you're Gary Bettman and you're trying to figure out this, it needs to be the question of, the line needs to go to the GMs of not voting on, do we bring the draft back? It's decentralized. It's, we're bringing it back. We're going to have a meeting right now. Tell me the things that we need to make that as feasible as possible. And I think that needs to be the discussion, not a vote to the GMs of, hey, because you know how they're going to vote. There's going to be some, the GMs are going to be like, hey, logistically speaking, this was easier. You know that's how it's going to go. So you have to make that decision right now as a league and as a commissioner. Is this an event we care about? And if it is, then you need to make the right thing. If it's an event you don't care about, you might as well just go all digital, because eventually at some point, what's going to be the point of anyone? What's going to be the point of any kid showing up if it's going to be literally to go to meet the PR person?
I totally agree. And by the way, that's happening in the NFL, where more and more picks are staying at home with their families. Okay. We on Spits and Suds, I like to see things on social media and then discuss them, because I think it's a healthy discussion. And so I'm throwing this question out for both Sean and I. Stars fans shouldn't think Jason Robertson is holding them hostage, or should they? Because I've seen it on social media, and I said, you know what, this is a, I want to answer it personally, but I'll give you the floor, Sean, on your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, Jason Robertson has been, when it comes to Jason Robertson, I don't think he's holding the fans hostage or the Stars hostage or anything like that. I think he's looking for the money he believes he's worth. And I have no issue with a player looking at the rising cap. And if we're all going to be look, and just look at the reality of it, I'm a multi-time 100-point player. I'm one of the best five wingers on the planet at my position. Just like, realistically speaking, if someone's going to, and I know there's some people might say, oh, he hasn't had a great playoffs or whatever. He actually scored goals in the playoffs. Like, if you're going to tell me, if you're going to tell me there's five wingers, obviously Team USA made different decisions, but right, based off past couple seasons of NHL play, if there are five wingers better than Jason Robertson that you would take, I would struggle to believe you. Just, that's the reality. And so, and he's also, I know people overly look at that, like, oh my God, he's holding the Stars hostage. You wouldn't take the $15 million offer from Seattle.
Right.
he wants to be in Dallas. And that's the thing. Like, he wants to be in Dallas. He wants to be paid as he wants to be paid what he believes is a fair market rate. And like, I look at this and I get that people overly kind of, it's easy to side with the team and get mad at the player and everything like that. But from a Stars perspective,
Howie Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow Howie Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You get mad at, like, don't be mad at Jason Robertson for wanting the market rate for a top five winger. Be mad at the Stars for not planning to get it done the right way, right? Like, that's the, like, I go a little bit more that way of, like, and I know we do have some people who go and properly yell and say, hey, why would you go sign to this guy to this much and everything like that? But this is the price you pay sometimes when, if you're going to see, if put yourself in Jason Robertson's shoes. If you look at your GM and he's willing to overly pay what some other aging veterans are worth on their team, a little bit of above market rate, look what Ilya Lyubushkin has probably gotten and everything like that. Why, when you've outplayed those players, don't you deserve a little bit of that bump too? Why do you have to take the discount from your rate? I know it's a ton of money, but like, so I push back under Jason Robertson's holding the Stars hostage. The Stars have had a long time to work on this. And the Stars fans, Jim last fall said him and Jason were talking and everything like that. If Jim and the Stars didn't want this to push to June 30th like it is right now, Jim could have gone to his owner, Tom Gilardi, and said, hey, Tom, this is what this guy is worth and this is what we need to do. It's like, this is more so on the team, in my view, than on the player. Just because, what else would anyone do in that situation? When you've been one of the top five players in the planet at your position, you've earned the right to do this, and you're actively fighting to stay with the team, right? It's not just about the money. It's about being in Dallas and getting the rate that's fair to you. And honestly, from my understanding, they've circled back, and if the qualifying offer was obviously issued yesterday to retain those rights, and from my understanding, they're back at the drawing board. And if it's holding the Stars hostage, they didn't plan well enough for this. And I think that falls on the team, because we've been talking about it for a year, Gavin. We've been talking about all this stuff for a long, long time.
Yep.
It's not like this popped out of nowhere, like the Dylan Larkin situation in Detroit, where Larkin goes and requests the trade, and now they got to scramble and do it because when a five-year plan is blown up. That's not what this is.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I don't think they're holding the Stars hostage, because the Stars could trade him tomorrow if they wanted to. I mean, so I don't think that's hostage. I mean, will they get as much compensation if he's signed to a long-term deal? No. But at the same time, I'm sure there's a team out there that would love Jason Robertson for a year. Mm-hmm. If, you know, and by the way, they have no say on that. So that's totally fine if the Stars want to trade the restricted free agent rights to any team and free up that 9.3 or what will be 9.3 million. They can do that tomorrow if they want to. But you're right. The intent, and Jim Nill, I give credit to Jim Nill on this. Like, he has continued to say, and he's very smart with his words, he has continued to say that they want to re-sign Jason Robertson.
Yeah, they do. I think they do. So. I also think there's a little bit of an internal battle here that we have to acknowledge of, we have seen Tom Gilardi's relationship with star players getting lots of money before. Obviously, most famously is the Jim Lights comments the Jim Lights delivered commentary that was really Tom Gilardi speaking through his president at the time. Part of it is there's a little bit of a sourness, just to call it what it is, that you have a reality where there's a little bit of a power struggle here within the Stars of, what the ownership is willing to think is palatable and what is the actual best hockey decision at the same time. And Jim Nill will make his decisions, but I do think it's important to acknowledge that the Stars have an owner that likes to be involved, and that's it's okay to acknowledge that because he is involved.
Absolutely. Let's move to the other restricted free agent. Shout out Leah Simakopoulos. We talk about obviously Sean, Robert, David. We, you know, we have our people. Leah's always willing to come on the show, and she's been terrific. She writes that a team could give Maverick Bork an offer sheet between 2.3 and 4.7 million annually. If the Stars did not want to match that offer, they would only receive a second round pick in return. So getting Maverick Bork for a second round pick, boy, that's kind of tasty. However, Sean, is this the year, and I asked you last year and probably the year before that, and I say this because the free agent class is not like uber strong this year because a lot of teams are trading the free agent rights and a lot of, you know, teams have got ahead of things. Is this the year that teams will look at restricted free agency? And there's just been a history, right, of teams like not wanting to poach in restricted free agents. The last big one I can remember was Sebastian Aho with Carolina and Montreal.
Yeah. You're talking about like the offer sheets and everything like that.
Yes. You just don't hear about them.
Yeah. Cause I think part of it also is there's such a fear from overly induced fear from GMs of, you do it, you're going to have someone come at you. Obviously St. Louis did it with Broberg.
That's right.
And Broberg and the second player. Why am I drawing a blank on the second player? Either way, it's a tool in the bag that I think GMs need to use more often. And from a Maverick Bork perspective, I really like Maverick Bork. I really do. I think there's a lot of potential with the kid. I really like him. But I also, and once again, this is such an important thing for me to lead into this caveat of, this is not a, I'm hearing the Stars are doing this or anything like that. But when everything is on the table, right? And as Jim Nill said yesterday or on whatever day it was, you can't listen to everything you hear and everything like that. But there is fire to some of the smoke. Like, the Stars have called about Zach Werenski. They have called about Dylan Larkin. They have called about Matthew Nyes. I know that they have. What the nature of those conversations is always difficult, right? Because if Jim Nill isn't calling about those guys, he's not a good GM. If Alexander Steen is about to be named the GM of the St. Louis Blues today, if he's not calling about those guys, he's not a good GM, right? So you should be calling about those guys. If the level of pure interest in where this actually goes. And once again, I really like Maverick Bork. But if you really are making the big swing play, if that is your goal here, hey, big swing play, and there's the 2026 version of Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, and I know obviously Stars fans have a little bit of negative feelings about Ryan Suter, but I want to talk about, this is much earlier Ryan Suter in Minnesota when him and Parise both picked Minnesota, and it was a pretty big deal. Like, it really put the Wild on the map for a little bit while those deals didn't age well and everything like that. But so if you're trying to bring in the 2026 version of that and you want to go get the former college roommates in Zansky and Dylan Larkin and bring them to Dallas together, because they do like to play each other. They know each other really well. They literally train together in Michigan all the time. Maverick Bork and Tom, it's going to cost you Maverick Bork and Thomas Harley. I want Stars fans to look at it this way, because obviously you fall in love with your own guys and your homegrown guys and everything like this. And I guess I'll just throw it to you this way, Gavin. Would you, and obviously there might be other pieces that would have to be moved around a little bit this, but would you move Maverick Bork, if it cost you Maverick Bork and Thomas Harley for Zach Werenski and Dylan Larkin, would you do it?
Yes.
Exactly. And that's what you have to think about, right? And that's the conversation Jim Neal has to have, right? If you want to go and do that, it's going to has cost some cutting. If I had told anyone, if you had told the Stars fan 18 months ago, hey, it's going to, we're going to lose Logan Stankoven. But if you said, hey, you're going to lose Logan Stankoven in a deal for Mikko Rantanen, you would have said yes.
Yeah.
So it costs the, everything takes a, there's so many kind of moving, kind of, it puts things over the edge in so many different ways that,
yep.
Like, so it's, I don't know how, I know some people think the Stars are going to be really busy today and tomorrow. Obviously there's going to be some busy tomorrow. There's going to be some big moves tomorrow. There's going to be free agency and everything, and decisions are going to be made. But when I look at the Stars right like this, they're almost like a champagne bottle. Okay. Like, I'm going to use this analogy. The Stars are like a champagne bottle. If they pop that cork, this is going crazy. Right. But they might not pop the cork. And yeah. I think that's the important way to look at this. If they decide that they've got the thing to go after and all of these dominoes are going to go, they're going to pop the cork and there's going to be two or three moves and there's going to be some crazy, and this roster is going to have some major, it's going to have some new faces and new foundations.
Yep.
But if they don't pop that cork, it's going to be run it back and we'll see what happens. And I think that's an important thing. And I know this is like, it's easy for people to make jokes about like the insider stuff right now. Like I see people like having fun on Twitter of like, I hear hearing that Jason Robertson, if he signs with Dallas, he'll play with Dallas. If he doesn't sign with Dallas, he'll play somewhere else next year. Like obviously people are having fun with it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. Like it is fine and everything like that. But I do want to reiterate that point. This really feels like to me, it's either we're going all in and opening that bottle of champagne,
or we're going to run it back.
Or we're going to run it back because you can't put the cork back in once you open a bottle.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. The other St. Louis Blues player you were trying to think of was Dylan Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, thank you. Thank you.
I pull back the curtain as I always do on the program. When Sean's talking, I have the use of Google. So I don't want you guys to think that Gavin Spittle just was like, oh, well, I know this, because I also forgot Dylan Holloway. And by the way, I mean, that is a perfect example. While teams might be mad at Mr. Armstrong and the St. Louis Blues organization, in 2 years since coming to St. Louis, 63 and 51 points. And that 51 points was just in 59 games. Like I did not see this in Edmonton. I mean, I saw that he was a nice piece, but boy, what a nice pickup for the St. Louis Blues. So that's a perfect example of it can work.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Okay, so one quickie. So if the Stars were to raise eyebrows, Detroit for Larkin, Columbus for Werenski, Toronto for Nyes, as you just talked about, those pieces are Maverick, Bork, and Thomas Harley, correct?
Yeah, or it's, and obviously Jason Robertson is the, the whole Jason Robertson stuff is fascinating too, because there is a world where, there's like Jason Robertson's probably gone in that situation too, but you're talking about acquiring Larkin and Werenski, it's going to cost those types of pieces, right?
Right.
Like that's the reality of what those players are going to cost. So that's an important element of that there. And it's also like interesting too, because what some teams that might be interested in Jason Roberts, there's some teams that probably aren't interested in Jason Robertson in like, I'd be curious which teams are interested in Jason Robertson on the short term, in which teams are interested in him on the long term. Cause I think that list is not exactly one to one. Like I think a good example is like, let's use Detroit for example. I don't think from my understanding, Steve Yzerman is not a big Jason Robertson person, and he doesn't, because he wants players that are going to be a little tougher, a little bit more physical in his mind, similar to the way Bill Guerin built Team USA. And Steve Yzerman also doesn't want to pay a player $15 million. And that's what the extension would cost. That's what Jason Robertson would cost in Detroit on the extension. Now, on the flip side, though, and let's go down this path, Gavin, if you'll allow it. And again, this is just me laying options out. If you're Detroit and you don't have a way, and you are like, you missed the playoffs, you missed the playoffs again, it'll be 11 straight years. Your captain wants out. You're going to lose guys. You got other players that are probably starting to show some frustration as well. Detroit might have more interest in Jason Robertson on the one-year deal than the long-term deal, just because all of a sudden it's the qualifying offer deal. It's that number that's below $10 million for 1 year, and then you kind of kick it down the can a little bit, and you're like, all right, either hey, we actually, you know what, this guy light, we like this guy, he fits our culture, he's a great alternate captain to Mo Sider. And you know what? Then we are willing to pay him. And you know, it's great. And we can kind of kick down the can. If we don't, we've just acquired the best possible asset to move at the deadline.
Yeah.
Because of now we can potentially recoup some of those. We can potentially recoup a first round pick for a Jason Robertson if he's not going to fit and now he's going to be a UFA. So, again, that's not me saying that's what Detroit is considering, but just, I think that's a reality. Is I think for some teams, there might be we can kick this down the road a year to get stuff done, and maybe it gives us some more flexibility to, like, there's a good example is, like, I think Colorado, for example, they moved Val Nichushkin to Columbus, and it felt very like. It's one of those moves, I think, Colorado. And so we've seen some teams do this. Colorado does it better than a lot of other teams, actually. We've seen teams sometimes sell in the summer to kind of set themselves up better to buy in season, right? Yep. So Colorado, maybe, for example, is that team where if you want to, like, pull the ultimate, like, FU moment to the Stars, to who sidewinded their way to getting your former player, and now you have to play him all the time in the Central. Wouldn't the ultimate FU back to Dallas be spinning a move of all of a sudden you see Robertson go to some other team on a 1 year deal, and then at the deadline you swing it, and then you bring him right back to the Central and you say, hey, we'll see you in the playoffs?
Yeah. No, that's interesting. It's funny when you mentioned, like, your player, I thought of Matt Duchene, and then I'm like, oh, he's talking about Mikko Rantanen. So there's actually two.
Yeah.
I know Matt Duchene loves playing his former team, but you're right. Yeah, that would be very, very boy, those Colorado-Dallas games. They'd be pretty hot. All right, before we let you go, and great thoughts today, Sean. Jordan H. at Harper Hockey Fan, north of the border in Vancouver. Next time you have Sean Shapiro on the podcast, it would be great to get his thoughts on players that are playing in the Dallas Stars development camp this week. And is there a player or two, a name or two, that Sean kind of has an eye on?
Yeah, and now it's the... It's kind of a... Like Emil Hemming, I'm interested. Emil Hemming is interesting, just because of just his kind of path and everything like that. I have, obviously, Stars fans are probably going to love seeing Dylan Ritzkovian. Like, the Stars didn't really have many picks this year.
Right.
They didn't, like, so it's not really, there's not really a lot of, There's not a lot there, honestly. The one for me that is interesting that for me to watch would be the goalie they took. I think
Mons Goose.
I've seen him in person last year, but the flyer for me is on the goalie they took this year in the sixth round. Anton
Wild Larson.
Yeah, and I'm not sure when and where we're supposed to. Someone needs to. We need to get our boy Robert on it to ask. how he what his full name is, because like at an EP and at the international level, it's been Anton Emil Wild Larson. And so,
yeah,
is it three names or four? Like I need to, it's one of those where I'm going to need.
Right.
That's a great question. But like he's someone who I saw at World Junior and I was intrigued. Right. I saw him at World Junior in Minneapolis and he was playing for a Denmark team that just got cranked. Right. Like they got cranked. They were losing. He went 0-4. He had like an 8.56 save percentage. But man, he battled and there's something more than what his stats show, right? And he played in, and I know he was on a really bad team in the top Danish division there this year. He was 0-11 playing for the Frederikshavn Whitehawks in Denmark's top league this year. And he's someone who I just think has never been in a really good position to succeed with a good team in front of him. And next year he's going to Sweden to play U20 with Linköping. And so he's someone that intrigues me just because not that this is like, hey, a future number one goalie or anything like that. But he's one of the guys when I look through the kind of the profiles of players, the stars of draft and what they've seen. He's someone where I have a hard time using his past history as any proper way to judge him. And we're not going to, I think we will get a much better read on who he is as a goalie this year. And so for me, development camp would be a good way to kind of start seeing that. So,
yeah. A couple others that I want to keep an eye on. Minetian, the right-handed defenseman out of Boston College, played briefly for the Texas Stars, was a hot prospect for a while. And I'd like to see that happen again. Cameron Schmidt, obviously, that would be good.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Ayrton Martino is a guy that, you know, coming out of college, a lot of people had a lot of looks on. And then, you know, Trey Taylor was like the throw-in signing there. And it seems as though Trey Taylor's got the more publicity out of there. So, yeah, those are just a couple of others. And I did want to found this interesting. Sean, you probably might have known this, but, you know, Jim Nill was talking about Rich Peverly in the post-draft press conference and mentioned, yeah, Rich moved here. I see him in the office every single day. I don't know if a lot of us knew that. And I think that's great news. And it just seems as though this new promotion, Rich is in it to win it. So I thought that was really cool that he's now around the team on a daily basis.
Yeah. And that is more of a newer development. I believe he was in Guelph I don't remember exactly when the move happened, but I know it happened during this season. So it's kind of one of those funny things where I will tell you, it's a very big sign that Jim's chair might be Rich Peverly's chair in a couple years.
That's what I was thinking.
I will tell you this from a level of one thing Jim has told me, and that's he said it's always been a...
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to hiring players and stuff like that, and like there have been players who want to work post-hockey careers with the Stars, right? There's been other ones, and Jim's told me this about this, where he says, I've had players who are interested, and we're interested in them, but they want to live in Dallas. And he said, you can't do this job in Dallas, right? Like this is like, if you want to work as a scout, if you want to work your way up, you got to be where hockey is. You got to be where, like, I mean, I've had this conversation with Jim multiple times actually about, it's the reason I live where I live in Michigan. Within an hour and a half of my house, Gavin, I can see upwards of 12 different programs between I can see upwards of 12 different leagues that feed that wow. 12 different teams, not leagues, 12 different teams that lead straight into the NHL draft between Michigan and Michigan State, the Saginaw Spirit, the Flint Firebirds, the National Development Team Program, the Windsor Spitfires. Like I have all of that right here. And that's why. And so when Rich kind of took his job with the Stars, that's one of the reasons he went home to Guelph was you need to do the job to do what you do and be close to prospects and to handle a bunch of this stuff and everything. There is, you need to be where the hockey is. And so if Jim has told Rich Peverly and the Stars have told Rich Peverly, get a place in Dallas, that tells me in what there are certain jobs that you can only do. There are certain jobs that you can't be remote for. You need to be a GM. You need to be in the city where it is. And so that tells me a lot about where this might be going in a not so surprising fashion.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why we mentioned it. And wow, if you did not in this 30 plus minutes get some great info for Sean, wow. I know I did, and hopefully you did as well. Before you go, tell us what you got coming up at Chap Shots or any of your other publications that you write for.
Yeah, right now I will say we have our top up over at EP right now. There's a good piece just about everyone on our staff's favorite pick and most surprising pick. It's always good to, like, for me, I think that stuff's always a really cool way to look at what the kind of what the scouts are looking at and everything is always a big, I'm a big believer in the work they do. So that's big for me. And then with over at Chap Shots and everything like that, kind of a, the level of right now we go and we have a, we'll see what happens type move. Just the whole, we're going to, you don't plan any writing for July 1st because you wait to see what happens on July 1st. So there will be stuff. We will be on all of that. And I'm looking forward to having more for everyone on that tomorrow. And Robert and I are doing the show tomorrow. It'll be a little bit more of an abbreviated show to just kind of, so we both can do our, both do our proper jobs and cover things. But we also have a guest that I've already booked the recording with for tomorrow morning where we will have something up with that as well.
Algorithmically Incorrect, subscribe there and also subscribe to Chap Shots. That's Sean's Substack. So the hockey information continues to flow from Sean, also writing for Elite Prospects. And don't forget about D Magazine as well and the great work that they do over there. That's going to do it for another Spits and Suds. Special thanks to Sean. Special thanks to our producer, Gregory Finley. And of course, the On Time Experts. You guys are amazing for supporting this program this off season. What a June we had. Let's continue the run in July. Please subscribe to Spits and Suds or tell your friend if they're wearing, like, if you see a person walking down the street, you know, be careful approaching them, but I do it all the time and people think I'm creepy, but I don't care. And I tell them, like, oh, you're a big Stars fan. And I tell them about Spits and Suds. And I actually show them on the phone where it is because we're trying to grow this thing one Stars fan at a time. So if you can team up with us on that effort, retweeting Spits and Suds, that's a big thing as well. So for Sean and Greg, I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.